So good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And it is Tuesday evening. And as you all know, this is my favorite time of the year. This thing is right in my face. It is my favorite time of the year. Where am I? Favorite time of the week. And I love being here. Why? Because I love to get to hang out with you guys. Look at it. Look at all my friends. Freddie's on. Joseph is on. Nicole is on. Linda's on. Alan is on. Hey, guys. Hi, everyone. So meet Paul. Paul, hey. Tell me your last name again.
Blanchard.
Paul Blanchard. Paul Blanchard is my guest tonight. Well, he's not my guest tonight. He's my friend tonight.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I'm just going to, I'll tell you a little bit about Paul when we start. So tonight I'm going to talk about 9/11. 9/11 was, I don't even have words for it actually. And I've asked people to call into the show and tell us about their experience of 9/11, because there's a lot of experiences out there. There are a lot of people that were in the country, a lot of people that were out of the country that was having like a hard time dealing with this. I'm not going to tell you about my week. My week has been great. I'm seeing a man and it's wonderful. And I like that. Wonderful, right? And but we're just going to go right into the show. So I would like to welcome Paul Blanchard to the show. And Paul, if any of you are familiar with Frasier, Paul sounds like Daphne.
I think I do sound a bit like Daphne.
You do.
She's allegedly from Lancashire, though, but I'm from Yorkshire.
You're from Yorkshire?
Originally, yes.
So is that where the Yorkshire pudding comes from?
I'm not sure, if I'm honest. Probably not. It'll be from somewhere else, and we've nicked the idea and, you know, claimed it as our own.
So Yorkshire, when I think of Yorkshire, I think of, there used to be this commercial on TV, and it was Horvis.
Yes.
The Hovis
bread.
Yes.
Where the young lad, there's like a really sad background music, and he's walking up a huge cobble street hill to get the loaf of bread.
Little tiny boy.
Absolutely.
Right, and his woolen coat with his little flat cap.
Absolutely.
And he's going home to get the bread. He's going up to get the bread to bring home to his mother.
That's the short version of it. The longer version is he gets run over at the end by a milk float and turns into a puddle of chunky salsa.
And then someone
dips the homeless bread in there, and it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
Now you see why I brought Paul on the show, because he is really funny. And I like to have fun on my show also, but I want you to know that he is a very successful public relations man.
I'm not. But thank you for saying I am. but I am certified hilarious by four different doctors.
So you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got medical certificates to prove that.
Okay, good. So, you know, on this day where we are, well, you know, the whole atmosphere could be pretty somber. And it's such a dismal day today, right? It's pretty dismal. It's nice to have some light in the room and your light.
Bless you. That's very kind.
I know. So we have some, Paul, we have some callers on the line already.
Jesus. They must be for you. I'm no one.
They knew you were coming.
I'm literally no one.
Put your headphones on. Let's see what's up. So we have Adam on line one. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. So, Adam, where were you on the day of 9/11? I was going to say Thanksgiving just then. 9/11.
I was at Park Avenue and 48th Street in Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the financial industry,
mm-hmm.
Basically making pitch books and screen shows for investment bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working the midnight to 8 a.m. shift, and I was there a little bit longer. And someone said that a plane flew into the World Trade Center. So, we had TVs on all the time, as they do most. We were watching a TV, and, someone said it was probably just a regular, you know, plane that flew into the building, because that the same thing happened to the Empire State Building years ago.
Right.
So nobody thought of it as a terrorist attack. And then while we're watching TV, the second plane hit.
So what was your what was the experience
for
you?
It became clear that it was something more, you know.
Right.
So that's where I was. I used to work in a World Trade Center just 2 years earlier. I worked for Morgan Stanley, and where I was would have been exactly a head-on collision with the second plane that hit the South Tower, I believe. So I was thankful that I didn't work there anymore, to put it plainly. So that's pretty much, I could tell you more about it.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for calling in, and thank God you're still here. Thank you. We have Shawnee on line two. Hi, Shawnee. How are you?
Greetings. I'm well, Noreen. How are you?
Thank you. And thanks for calling in to show up. Where were you on 9/11? And what were you doing?
I was pulling up to my workplace at the time, which happened to be a foster care agency. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the directors of a program there and was parking and listening to the radio and heard over the radio that the first plane had hit the first tower and thought that it was some sort of freakish accident and sat there and was listening and taking it in. And then the second plane hit shortly thereafter and recognized that there was something that was happening that was intentional and catastrophic.
Right. And what was that like for you watching that on listening to that on the radio? What was that like for you?
Very scary, and then also a profound feeling of deep sadness that such a thing could happen and happen in a city that I love and that people were being, like, they were dying while I was listening and just very aware of that. And of course, you know, like it was like a scaffolding event, like one layer after another layer after another layer. So just hearing all of the details, everything from the fire and people evacuating and then people jumping out of windows. And I'm extremely sensitive to energy and visual stuff. So watching all of that and hearing all of that was devastating, like just in my psyche, like just on a visceral level. And the other piece is just how I am, is that I'm like, what can I do to support? So even though I wasn't close to the devastation, I was dealing with the devastation of the people inside of my job. So I gathered everybody into a conference room, the staff and the families that were there that morning, and just, you know, grounded people. We said prayer, we made phone calls, and then, you know, just, you know, let people leave early so they can get home. And I remember driving home and it taking a 20-minute ride took 2.5 hours, and my own children just wondering, like, if they were okay because they were in an elementary school not too far from my house. So it was, there were so many layers of emotions and just upset and disruption to, you know, my beingness and the people around me that it was just unreal. It was very surreal and like it was like a movie rather than real life.
Absolutely, absolutely. For me, it was like, I was at a BNI, which is a business networking meeting, at 7 o'clock in the morning. And at the time, I was doing the Landmark Forum, and I was supposed to be there at 10 o'clock.
Oh, wow!
And somebody said, "Oh, the guy came into the room, and he was like, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center." And I said, "That is not bleep funny, right? I can curse on my show. It's not fucking funny, right?" And so he was like, and I said, "No, seriously, that is not funny." And I went outside and looked in this window where they had a TV, and I saw it. And it was just like, you can't fathom it. It definitely was like I was on a movie set. And I was waiting for Will Smith to come and save us from Independence Day. He was going to ride in his airplane, and he's going to save us like he did with the aliens. I just didn't have anything to grasp onto because it was just not real. But so thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. And, yeah, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for asking. Y'all be well. Take care.
Thank you. So, where were you?
I was on holiday on a very remote Greek island, and I deliberately cut myself off from, like, emails and television and all that kind of thing. Because I thought, not, you know, my fear was that, because I run my own business, that you've got to be connected all the time. And I thought, well, this is going to be an experiment because I'm going to disconnect from the grid and nothing, the end of the world isn't going to happen.
Right.
And then literally the next day, the only thing, I didn't turn my phone on or anything, but the only thing that the local shop had, they had one English newspaper, which was the Daily Mail. And so I learnt about it the next day via the Daily Mail newspaper. And obviously they'd already covered it hugely. They'd already labelled Osama bin Laden as been behind it.
Right.
So it was the whole thing. So it was really weird, really, because considering I thought, well, it won't be the end of the world if I disconnect from the grid for one day. And it genuinely, it was. I mean, at that point, you know, all hell had broken loose.
Right.
And I mean, now I've seen so many documentaries and I've seen everything that I almost... In my own memory, I feel like I was there, but actually, I'd missed the whole thing by a whole 24 hours.
Right,
it was incredible. I mean, the shock was unbelievable.
It was
even a day later, to read it on the newspaper, and I rang my father and said, "You know, what on earth's going on?" And he said, "Son, this is going to be World War III." That's literally what
Everybody
he said.
Everybody was thinking that. So, hi, Vaughn. How are you? You're on the line.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. So, Vaughn, thanks for calling into the show. Where were you on the night of the day of September 11th?
It's so funny because on that day, I remember I had just graduated from college that year.
Mm-hmm.
And that day I was supposed to, like, go all the way downtown because I had, like, an internship and not a job. I was supposed to, like, go all the way downtown in that area to apply for, like, to, like, be, like, a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up late, and I was, like, muddling around my house because, you know, this is supposed to be my plan. And you have to, like, take the train down to that area. And
mm-hmm.
I always watch, like, the TV show or whatever. And then I remember that, like, they interrupted the program, and you saw, like, the towers hit the World Trade Center. And I was what? It's like you can't even fathom the thought that that had actually happened.
Right.
You know, like, it's just, like... Because before that, we were all so naive. We never thought things like this happened in America.
Right.
You know, and then the towers hit the first one, and I sat there and watched. The towers hit the second one, and I sat there and watched. And my sister actually worked down there. She worked at the third tallest building at the time, which was the Trump Tower. Right. And so I was on the phone with her, telling her, like, you need to leave. And she was like, no, my job's saying that it's not a big deal. You know, they're holding us in here. They're saying, like, you know, basically, and I'm like, the towers hit the second building. It's chaos, you know. And, like, I was the only one who was home. So, like, my mother was calling me. I have three sisters. I was, like, command central at my house.
Right.
And I
right.
spent all day on the phone with my mother, my both of my sisters. You know, and a friend of mine who had just graduated from college, too, we spent all day on the phone with each other just watching all this unravel.
Right.
It was just like, and when it was all over, it was like New York was like silent.
Mm-hmm.
You know? 'Cause I remember I was supposed to, because I had an internship at an Entertainment Weekly.
Right.
So I went to the premiere of Mariah Carey's movie because she had like Butterfly or something like that. And when it went across the screen and they showed the picture of New York, they showed the New York skyline.
Right.
And it was the Twin Towers. Everyone clapped so loud. It was like 2 days after it.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to ask you, say thank you so much for your piece and stay tuned and, you know, listen to more stories of what happened on 9/11. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who
do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So this is Noreen Sumter, and we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And in the studio today is joining me is Mr. Paul Blanchard.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Bamba Gascoigne.
Absolutely.
So we're talking tonight to people who, people are sharing their experiences of 9/11. You know, we hear a lot of stories where we talk amongst ourselves, but we never really sort of hear the from the just the man in the street. This is a conversation just from the man or the woman in the street, right? And I see here we have Laurie Waugh on the line, and I was with Laurie Waugh that day because after I left my meeting, I had bought this suit, and I paid a tremendous amount, $700 for this suit. And then I found it at Century 21 for 50% of the cost. So I went to take it back to Bloomingdale's.
Sensible.
And I was like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I'm not walking across the bridge. I'm not going to walk across the bridge. Because when you looked at people walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, there was papers flying everywhere. There was soot. There was all kinds of stuff raining down on them. And people were covered in soot. And I was like, I am not going out there because I don't know what's in that soot. Could be asbestos next minute. I'm
I think asbestos was in it, actually.
Yes. And so I wasn't going to do that. So I went uptown. I figured, let me go uptown. Further uptown, the better. They're not going to bomb uptown, right? Because that's where the black people live. That's the idea, right? The blacks and the Latinos live uptown. They're not going to bomb us, right? And so I started walking. I don't know why I came up with that, but New York is New York. It hits all, right? And so I didn't have signal on my phone, and I was trying to use a payphone. But I got a little kind of tiny signal and got in contact with Laurie. And she said, come to, I can't remember his name now, but we went to his house on Park Avenue. And so when I got to his apartment, all I did was flop down on the bed because I was so stressed. Because in Bloomingdale's, people were fighting with each other. Foreigners were saying things like, I'm a foreigner, right? People were saying things like, oh, this is America. This is their fault. You know, this is what you get. And I said, but dude, you're here. So if we get it, you get it. You know what I mean?
That's also disgusting, of course, yes. Blaming the innocent victims people, of terrorism.
People were arguing and fussing. And then I met this woman who was crying because she was, she looked Arab, she said. She was Indian, but she goes, I look Arab and they're gonna get me. I said, who's gonna get you? I don't know, they're just gonna get me. I said, let's go eat some chicken. So I gave her a hug, and then we went and sat down and ate chicken, and then I went to my friend's house, and then we stayed there for a while because I was like, I'm probably gonna have to live here forever because can't get across the bridge. And then we went to church, and it's funny how when a catastrophe happens, right, you see people that you've seen in your neighborhood for a really long time, but you've never really spoken to them. But now you see them. And what I did was, like, I saw these people. They knew me. I knew them. But we'd never said hello. And they were going back to Brooklyn. And I was like, I'm going to go back to Brooklyn with you. So I started to walk with them. And they went somewhere else. And I decided I'm just going to get on the train. When I got on the train, the people that were on the train were, like, a lot of homeless or mentally ill people. And it was so unreal. I thought I had died. I thought I had died. You know, like one of those shows. It was like a day of shows, right? I died and I was going to ride the train forever. It was just the worst thing. Anyway, we have Mayla on the line. Hi, Mayla.
Hi.
So where were you when the World Trade Center was hit?
I was sitting in class because I was in the ninth grade in a really small town.
So what age is ninth
Ohio,
grade? So that Paul knows what age ninth
grade. 14, isn't it?
Oh, yes, smart.
The only way I knew what was happening is that my teacher, or one of the teachers in the school, started running down the hallway screaming, "Turn on the TV, turn on the TV!" And I was like, oh, crap, this is bad, because that teacher never runs, like, ever in her life. She moves probably really slowly, so I knew it had to be serious. Turned on the TV, and the first plane had already hit, and we actually got to witness, like, in the ninth grade, the second plane hit the tower, and, like, the South Tower. Right. And it didn't seem real, and... But I knew, like, sitting there as a 14-year-old kid, I was like, America's not going to be the same.
Right.
You're right.
It's going to be really different now.
Right. It has become very different. So what is it, what was that, like, at 14, right, when you're thinking America is going to be very different, what did you think was going to be different at 14?
Well, both my parents are from big cities. My mom's from New York. My dad's from Chicago, and they somehow ended up in a really small town. And there's something called small town mentality that I never kind of grasped, like, understood. But a lot of my peers were always just, like, afraid of, like, others, because most of the people in my town were white. And so I was immediately, like, worried that they were going to be a lot worse. Of, like, what kind of, like, laws are they going to make? You know, because even at that age, I was, like, excited to vote. I was like, I'm going to get to vote for the next election. Yeah, it was really, I don't think I even thought straight for the rest of the day, because I was just worried about the country. I was, like, a very philosophical kid. And so that didn't, I thought about it for a long time. And so, of course, like, the Patriot Act happened after that. And even that, I was like, this is going to be bad, so bad. And now, like, you know, now we're still dealing with the aftermath of this attack.
Right.
And so everybody should vote in November. That's really what I want to.
People should vote tomorrow for the Attorney General if you're in New York City. You know, tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys should definitely vote.
Yes, the Attorney General vote is tomorrow. So if you haven't yet voted, you should do that. Okay. So thank you, Mela. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Glad I got through.
I wanted to know, I wanted to see if Lori would come on and share with us, you know, her experience, because we were together on that day. I just wanted to hear her experience, because it's good to hear other people's experiences. And I think there was a woman in my building that died, actually. She used to work at the World Trade Center, and she was in security. And apparently she was helping people out of the garage area, and when the towers collapsed, and she died. So yeah, she was always like a helpful person. And then there was another guy in my building who, I think he was late. A lot of people, you hear a lot of stories that people woke up late, or they missed the train, or something weird happened, like, you know, something abnormal. But it was with so many people missing trains or waking up late, or some weirdness happening that delayed them from the situation so that they didn't have to go downtown.
Ultimately, making them the luckiest people.
Absolutely.
You know, in Manhattan at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. one of my neighbors, she worked in a building not too far from the World Trade Center. And one of the things that really scared her and, like, you know, traumatized her was people dropping from the skies. Like, people were literally jumping out of the windows.
They were.
Because they didn't want to be burned.
She
was traumatized for months. And I had my doors, my apartment door, open most of the time so that she could come down and just sit on the couch and cry. And that's what she did. She would just come downstairs, sit on the couch and cry, because all she could, she goes, "Noreen, I can't get them out of my mind. People jumping out the windows and plopping to the ground." She goes, she couldn't get it out of her mind. So it's like, what? I mean, there's really nothing I could say, but just listen and just let her have the couch whenever she needed it, and just be there for her.
It brought out the best of America and the best of American people.
Oh, my God. What? It really did. It really brought out. I thought it brought out the best. I don't know about what you guys thought. If you want to call in and tell us some of your great experiences, what happened for you, you can call us at 877 877-480-2... This is live TV. Right, 877-480-4120. Call in and tell us what the best of America, even on that day, which was traumatic, and it was pretty brutal. I would use the word brutal. It's a brutal experience.
It wasn't just an attack on America. It was an attack on all of us and all decent people and decent nations.
Right. I mean,
and it really did bring out a lot of solidarity around the world for what the Americans and particularly, obviously, New Yorkers were going through.
Right.
I mean, the sheer scale and spectacle of it. I mean, we're both Brits. We were born in Britain.
Right.
So, you know, we grew up with sectarian violence in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely.
And it was almost a weekly event that a bomb would go off. And we'd got used to it.
Right.
But, the sheer unexpectedness and, you know, the scale, the sheer number of dead and the spectacle of this was just utterly unheard of, even in a country like Britain, at my country, that was used to, if I could dare call it, routine terrorism. And I don't mean that to diminish diminish, you know, what was going on, but it was routine in the sense that it happened all the time.
We did grow up with the IRA bombing and glass and all these weird bombs that they used to make. We did grow up that, and you kind of became immune to it. It was just like, it was to be expected. So we've always had like vigilance of police watching, and we've always had a lot of security and safety, but in a way that was still very freeing. Whereas now, I remember when I first came here, you could walk into any building, walk up the stairs. I was in sales, tap on a door, go in, meet somebody, you know,
now it's
do
ID
some business,
and
give a card. Now you can't. Now it's IDs and scans. You can't come into a building if you don't have your ID. You know, somebody has to vouch. It's a lot of stuff going on. I remember going to the airport like 30 minutes before the flight and I used to like to rush through the airport because it made me feel like I was in a movie.
Maybe you were.
I know, my own, right? And it made me feel really good to like just rush it up because I hated waiting, you know?
Yeah, you won't do that
but
now.
But now you can't do that. You have to be 2 hours in advance, you know? So a lot of things have changed. What else? What else have you noticed that has changed? What's very similar in England and similar here now?
So in England, we don't have the whole ID thing to get into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We still have, you know, usually there's a security guard, but you just say, you just rock up and say, I'm Bob.
Right.
Can I come in? And they go, yeah.
Right.
So when I bring my British colleagues here, sometimes they actually forget to bring their ID to a meeting and they're utterly appalled that the security guard turns them away from the building and they can't get into the business meeting.
Right.
So they only forget once.
Right.
But I just have it on with me at all times.
And I also remember there was a time, you know, until I came here, I didn't walk around England with ID.
Yeah, it's a problem, isn't it? Because in the one sense, you want a safe society where people can prove who they are, so that there's some measure of order, and we have to deal with the reality of the fact that there are terrorists out there that want to do us harm.
Right.
But for me, I don't consider it an inconvenience because I will always stand up to bullies and I will always stand up to threats, and so you should. And as a society, we should do that as well.
Right.
If we give in and we let the terrorists bomb and coerce and intimidate their way to the negotiating table, then that's morally wrong in my view. You don't give in to that. But also it then encourages further terrorism. You know, that's why you shouldn't ever give in the terrorists. And it's also quite the reason why it's futile.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, all the bombers and the terrorists on 9/11 did was bring Americans closer together.
Right.
That was the opposite of what they wanted, really.
Right, right. So
they tried to bring out the worst in America, but that actually brought out the best.
I think so. I think that, okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. And then I'll tell you what I think.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Thank you. Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hello, and we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're talking about 9/11. Where were you on 9/11? Were you on your way to work and suddenly you missed the train, or did you wake up late? Because there was a lot of those kinds of stories going on. It's like divine interruption, I would say, right? So your normal routine it wasn't your normal routine that day. Something happened and you were probably upset. Then all of a sudden you realize, oh, thank God, I just got my life saved because I didn't go into my normal routine. So if you'd like to call in, the telephone number is 877-480-4120. And if you are a person that is out of the country, because we do have international people online. If you're out of the country, I'd love to hear your thoughts and your ideas of what you felt. Because I know my mother, who was in Jamaica at the time, she said that she just started crying. You know, she was like crying because and praying. She started, and my mother is not a big prayer, right? She's not a prayer warrior. But she started crying and praying because she was worried, not just for me, but just for everybody that was in New York at the time, because she loves New York, you know? So what were you doing? And if you were there, let me know. Let me know what you were up to. I'd want to know. So what was it like in England on 9/11? I know my brothers and sisters were going crazy because they couldn't get through to me.
We were going through it with you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we were 100%. With you, we were seeing it in real time, just like you guys were. I mean, we're only 5 hours ahead in London, mm-hmm. so all of the networks were covering it. I think the second plane, the plane crashing into the second tower, mm-hmm. was covered live on Sky News, right. which is our British equivalent of Fox News.
Right.
And we were just utterly transfixed. Our Prime Minister at the time was Tony Blair,
right.
and I was very involved with the Labour Party at the time, and he was actually due to give a speech at the TUC, which is like a trades union right. body. And of course, when this happened, about a minute before he was due to give a big speech with thousands of people in the room, the whole thing was cancelled, and he just gave 3 or 4 minutes.
Right.
A very memorable speech saying that these terrorists are trying to divide us, and they never will, and we stand shoulder to shoulder with our American
right.
friends. And then he went back to Downing Street because, of course, at that point, there was the attempted attack on the White House, mm-hmm. And so on and so on, the Pentagon. Lots of Western countries, like even including Britain, wondered whether this, you know, at that point, that whether there were 7 or 8 attackers that were going to attack different sites in Britain right. at that point. So everything was put on lockdown.
Right.
There was an incredible sense of fear and apprehension,
right.
Which frankly still lingers to this day.
Mm. Okay, so we have Tanya on the line. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Noreen. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Amazing. Thank you.
Great. So where were you on the day?
Well, at that time, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I lived in the Bronx, and I took my son to school mm-hmm. in Manhattan on 96th Street and 5th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting him to school, and I had this weird feeling that I should not take the subway back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand why I was feeling like that. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Walk home? And something in my mind said, take the bus. So I immediately found a bus route that actually went, you know, to you know, where I live mm-hmm. in the Bronx. I think I had to connect at some point to another bus. But right. I remember being on the second bus, and everybody kept coughing. One person, then another person. I said, something's happening in the air that people are coughing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, something must be going on. And I was looking around, and I didn't have a clue. Nothing was looking funny, you know, because I was in the Bronx. So when I got home to my building, I saw the building super outside, and he said to me, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And I looked at him, and I remember thinking, why would he say something like that? What kind of imagination does this guy have?
Exactly.
And so he said to me, if you don't believe me, go in your house and turn on the television. So I went in, and I turned on the television, and I saw what he was talking about. So at that time, I had my daughter was a little baby, and I took her upstairs to a neighbor, and I said, please hold on to this baby until I come back.
Right.
And if I don't come back, please hold on to the baby.
Right.
And so she said, okay, you know, and I left, and I walked all the way back to Manhattan, and I walked, got my
you
son, and I walked
all the way back home. From the Bronx to Manhattan?
Yeah. Yeah, I walked. Yeah. And
that's
I walked
that mommy
and got
power.
My son, and we walked back.
Wow.
And when I came back, I went and I got water and candles and got money out of the bank and, you know, all that whole thing before I went back into my house.
How long did it take you to walk to Manhattan?
We lived at 165th Street and Sherman Avenue. So I went to 149th Street, which was about a mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked across that bridge that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Across into Harlem, and
mm-hmm.
then all the way down Lenox Avenue until I hit the park, Central Park, and then right around, once you hit the park at the end of Lenox Avenue and, like, I don't know what the low number, like 110th,
right.
As soon as you swing around the park, you're pretty much there, 96th Street, at that school.
Right.
So I want to say probably about 2 hours or something like that, a little under 2 hours.
Right. And that time when you were walking for the 2 hours, what were you thinking? What was your experience?
I was really feeling like I didn't know what was going to happen. This could possibly be the end of everything as we know it,
mm-hmm.
whatever that means. And I was really in the space of that, like, this could be the end of everything.
Right.
You know?
Huh. So thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you. And, well,
welcome.
Thank God you're here. And that's that mommy power. I've been watching Mommy Power all week. Women, you know, going to unbelievable strengths and lengths to take care of their children. So I really get the sense that if it had taken you 500 miles, you'd have walked those 500 miles to go get your baby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a great
okay.
evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Tanya that walked for 2 hours to go pick up her child because she had a sense that something was happening. And, you know, I felt the same way when I saw the fires and the planes going into the World Trade Center on television. It wasn't real. It didn't feel real. And when that gentleman came into the room, the conference room, it was like, the World Trade Center is on fire. And a plane, I guess now what I can actually say is that he had nervous energy. He was nervous, right?
I don't blame him.
And so that's what had him giggle. But at the time, I didn't think it was funny, right? And I didn't think it was funny because, you know, growing up I was born in the 60s. So growing up in the 60s and 70s and with the bombs and stuff like that, you never knew what could happen. And I always was a little bit dubious because we do a lot of subway riding in New York. Right. And you guys have had bombings in the subway. We've been fortunate enough to not have that. But it's like I've always been a little bit afraid and concerned about what could actually happen. But do you know what? The truth, as a matter of fact, I do have a story to share about safety in the subway. So a few months ago, I'm in the subway and this woman gets off and she leaves her bags. Right. She leaves her bags behind. And so this couple was sitting by the bags and they come down by me, right? I'm at one end and they come down at the other, at one end. And I hear them say, "Dad, she just got up and left her bags." And I was like, I perked up and I was like, "She did what? The woman over there, she just got up and she left her bags." I said, "And you came down here." I said, "Don't you think shrapnel flies? You know, shrapnel flies. and you know, you're still on the train and we're all going to go over the bridge. You let it go over the bridge and there could be something in there. So, you know, that see something, say something. So I started pressing the button, like the button. And I said to the guy, this woman has just gotten off the train and she's left some bags. I don't know what's in it, but she's left some bags. And I think, you know, we need to pay attention to it. So let me tell you something. I don't know what would have happened in England if somebody had left bags on a train. What do you think would have happened?
Almost certainly nothing.
Nothing? Oh, so then it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm really shocked because I'm thinking, because what, 9/11 was what, 23 years ago, if my math is right? How long ago was it?
17 years ago.
See, my math is wrong. 17 years ago. I'm terrible at math, right? 23. And so the train conductor said, oh, we're on the bridge. We can't do anything right now. Not like that, but, you know, like that. And so I'm like buzzing because I'm like, dude, what if something's really in there? Right. And so finally he gets off the train and he slowly lumbers towards the door and he goes through and he's touching the bag and poking it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so now people are getting off the train because they saw the bag. They didn't know what was in the bag. And this woman, she gets off the train. She says, I saw the bag, but I didn't know what to do. You know, people I didn't know what to do. I just saw the bag. And I said, what did you do? She said, nothing. I said, what were you going to do? Oh, no, I didn't say it like that. What were you going to do? Nothing. I don't know what. I don't know what to do. I said, but you know what? On the train, there are those buttons. There's the what do you call it? The emergency, it used to be a cord. It is now a silver panel with a button. And it
that's progress for you.
Yes, I know, right? So now it can, so if you're short, you can reach it, right? You just press a button. And so you press the button and it goes to the conductor and stuff gets sorted. But a lot of people don't know what these panels are for, right? So we've got like a really great campaign. See something, say something. But I don't know what the button is for. So what do you do? What do you do?
We have a similar campaign in the United Kingdom. We call it, it's see it, say it, sorted.
See it, say it, sorted?
I think it's terrible, but, you know. It doesn't even rhyme, does it?
See it, say it.
See it, say it, sorted.
See it, say it, sorted. Let's do it together.
See it, say it, sorted. Yeah.
That's right.
Shite.
And here we'll say, see something, say something.
Yeah, that's also terrible.
It's really... Maybe it's the same guy that created it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Maybe he's the guy who left the bag just as a test.
Maybe it was a guy, the guy that left the bag, but he was really dressed up as a woman.
Potentially. I've just listened to Elon Musk on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I'm convinced we're all living a simulation anyway. That none of this is real.
Okay. We had this conversation yesterday when I said to you, if I left my house, is my house really there? Is my house really there in Brooklyn right now?
So in quantum theory, there's an actual doctrine called the observation problem,
mm-hmm.
Where if you don't look at a particle, it's not necessarily there. Because everything at the molecular level is, you have what's called wave-particle duality, where mm-hmm. it's a wave and a particle at the same mm-hmm. time. And the waveform collapses into a particle only when you look at it.
So basically, I'm going to turn my back on you.
Exactly. And now I don't exist. It's called the measurement problem.
A measurement problem.
It's incredible.
Sounds very raunchy. All right, so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
This is Noreen Sumter, and this is Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I am back, and we have Paul Blanchard, which is my friend, on the show. And why is he my friend? Because he's British. Because he's British, and I like him.
I was just walking past the studio on the street, and you offered me $5 to come in. I've never met you before in my life.
Come on, tell us you have a 45. So tonight we're talking about 9/11. It's 9/11, and you know, we're talking about the experiences of what the man in the street, the woman in the street had when this took place. We always hear about the celebrities, but we never hear about just like the man in the street or the woman in the street. Joe and Jane. Is that what they're called? Joe and Jane.
John and Jane Doe.
Okay. So we have Ruth on the line. Hi, Ruth. How are you?
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I have a 9/11 story unlike most other people's.
Oh. Well, you have to be British.
It actually happened a few days after 9/11.
Okay.
So 11/11.
So
I was actually working for a company. I was in charge of all their storage.
Mm-hmm.
And we had in storage thousands and thousands and thousands of pairs of boots that were left over, believe it or not, from the Korean War. And one of my assignments was to get rid of them. And
Good for walking anymore.
And I was working for a homeless charity, but these boots were so heavy that nobody would ever want to walk in them. So we had this warehouse full of them, and I had the key to the warehouse. And I think it was, a few days after 9/11, every day they'd have announcements asking, you know, they wanted wheelbarrows, they wanted masks, they wanted this. And one day I just heard out of the corner of my ear that they needed boots.
Mm-hmm.
And so the boots were so heavy, I went down to the office, got one, and took it down to the staging area down at Jacob Javits, and I said, would these be useful? And they said, yes. So, and there are all these people that are just twiddling their thumbs, nothing to do, convoys of trucks waiting. Everybody wanted to help. There was nothing they could do. And so I got...
Why was there nothing that they could do?
Well, because, you know, they wanted to help and save people, but no one was... No one could be saved. Everyone had died.
Right.
So, you know, it was a matter of sort of combing through the debris, but all these people converged on the area wanting to help, but there was nothing for them to do.
Right.
And so they put together a convoy of trucks, and off we went to Brooklyn to the storage area and put together this chain gang of people. And we emptied the warehouse.
So how many pairs of boots are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Thousands and thousands of them. It's like a whole warehouse full of them. A huge warehouse.
This was from the Korean War?
Yeah. What had happened was they were kind of abandoned on some property that the organization was using. So they had to take them off the property, but so that they could use the property as it actually was being used as a farm, and they had some free storage area donated by the city. So, but it was taking up this huge space, and I had taken them to all these various Army Navy stores, trying to see if there was any interest in them, and I couldn't get rid of them.
Right.
But they were absolutely perfect because they were so heavy. It wasn't a problem for people to be climbing on hot burning metal, which was what they were dealing with, and so the rescue people were able to equip themselves.
Right.
I don't really know what happened to them after that, but it was quite an exciting night. I mean, it took all night.
To unload the storage area.
To unload and then bring them back to the staging area and get them all sorted out. But it was... that's my 9/11 story, apart from the fact that I did lose a very dear friend who was never found, a firefighter who was never found. And... so that's, I know you're coming up to the end of your hour, sure. So I thought I'd share that.
Thank you. So thank you so much.
Story.
Thank you for calling in.
Well, have a nice evening,
and
everyone.
And the same to you. Talk soon. Okay, so we are coming up to the end of the hour, right? We've got 5 more minutes, and I would like to, who do you think we should acknowledge? I think we should acknowledge the firefighters.
All
the first responders.
All the innocent victims who lost their lives.
All the innocent victims that lost their lives. All the people that pitched in and helped.
Absolutely.
All the people that prayed. All the people that prayed, because I'm sure there was a lot. I prayed. I went to church. I went to Catholic church, right? So I just want to thank us New Yorkers for pulling together and bringing out the best of us, because we are really awesome, amazing people in this city, right? When there's an issue in this city, we band together, you know? So I just want to thank each and every one of you for that.
This is the second best city in the whole world.
I would say.
After Milton Keynes in England, where I'm from, which is a pretty good city. It's got the most roundabouts of any city in Europe, and we have a herd of concrete cows.
You are absolutely right. There are so many roundabouts, but you know what? I really like roundabouts. So my
you don't have any roundabouts here, do you?
My sister and I usually go around them twice. Yes.
Is that
too fun. Yes, we do.
Is that too fair? The law, like a speeding ticket or something to lose.
Right. So anyway, we're just going to end the show on a, you know, I would just say, like, think about who you want to be for New York, right? How do you want to live your life in this city? Because it is a crowded city, but it is one of the nicest cities. And the people are great. And for any individual that has ever come from a foreign country to live in the United States, this is one of the easiest places where you can make friends.
Mm.
And this is one of the easiest places where those friends can become family.
Mm.
So I just want to say thank you so much. I love New York. I love the people of New York. And thank you, Mr. Blanchard, for being on the show.
I've been the best guest you've ever had,
you
frankly.
Are the best
I brought
guest
a certain
this
amount
week
of charisma.
That's right.
And everything. It reminds me of a very profound tale of wisdom that someone once told me. They said,
pray tell.
Before you criticize anyone ever in life, you should always walk a mile in their shoes.
That's
because
right.
Because then when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you've got their shoes.
Stupid. All right, so this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Oh, we got a couple more minutes. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
There's really nothing to say, actually.
There isn't.
I'm very, very dull.
Uh-huh.
I bore a lot of people. I was born at an early age. And I've basically had 43 years between the moment of my birth and now. And here I am.
Just here you are.
Well, in 60 seconds...
60 seconds, tell us. This is a very smart man. Go ahead.
No, I'm not, though. That's
okay, so he's very stupid. let me come
well,
back.
Well, I'm a midway point between the two extremes. So
is this like one of your quantum physics things?
Yeah. I'm a reputation
manager.
You're
stupid as well as smart in the same space.
We look after the reputations of individuals. Uh-huh. It emerged out of PR. But we've got a very, very unique selling point that differentiates my business from that of other PR companies. And that's other PR companies are competent and good at what they do. Mm-hmm. We're terrible.
And so how do you make money?
We don't, actually. I filed for my 11th bankruptcy yesterday. Uh-huh. And I just lurch from failure to failure, learning deliberately, steadfastly, refusing to learn nothing from anything that goes wrong in life. Okay. And just hoping for the best.
So would you like to have a coach?
Yeah.
You would, so that you can learn more of nothing.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I think actually that is the best way to be. Nothing. You are everything and nothing and more nothing. And it gives you a sense of freedom and you can learn, but you have nothing.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Just goes on and on. You being nothing and living your life and being happy.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I do love your energy. You know, so positive and upbeat. You can't fake that. And it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you.
Have me back, I'll bring more jokes.
I definitely will have you back. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
So on that note, we are going to say goodnight and thank you. And just like... hug the people that you love, even the ones that you don't love. Like, they need more than the ones that you love, right? So just, like, hug somebody, love somebody, and love yourself. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. See you next week. Bye!
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, are you interested in blockchain technologies and cryptocurrencies? Then tune in here on talkradio.nyc with me, David, every Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time, as we answer your questions and interview great guests live on Internet Radio on Building the Blockchain, where you can catch the blockchain revolution.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.